How's life?
Yeah, man, it's good. I think I've finally kicked the jet lag. I've been in the UK for 2 weeks. This is my 10th day in my house since September.
Yeah. Did you buy the house or is it?
No. No, come on, Ben. Come on.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
Maybe.
You really think I could buy a house? I could barely buy a van.
Well, you know, like mortgages and stuff.
That is exactly my point, then.
Yeah.
Who is going to give me a mortgage? Which that's bank?
That's a fair point. I didn't even think about that, the logistic part.
Imagine it. I go into a bank like, yeah. A couple of hundred, 300-400 grand maybe, and I'll pay it back over 75 years. They'd be like, sir, you will not live that long.
What'd you do,
that much money.
What did you do for a job? Just,
And I say, how?
Wrestle.
Isn't that obvious?
Are you doing that? Is that just what you're doing full time now?
Yeah, man. It takes up all of my time. I don't get paid.
I know exactly.
You know exactly where this is going. Yeah, but yeah. It's been my full time thing. We've performed nearly 80 times this year. So trying to do anything else at the same time, especially given that a lot of those were like runs, you know, where we perform every day. So it's not like you can just be like, go to work for a bit beforehand.
So
that's what I do. Hooray for me.
Yeah, living the dream.
I don't know whose dream, but some twisted motherfucker. Have you shaved
your head too?
No, man, it's been like this for 10 years.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was long all the way through. I didn't realize he was like undercut.
Nah. I was like the OG.
Are you the original?
I was the OG Ragnar, bro. You know, when Vikings first came out, and I shaved all my hair because I was wrestling in a mask at the time, and I have a lot of hair. It was very hot.
Yeah.
So I did it, and I was like, this is pretty cool, actually. And flash forward to now, everybody. So now I'm going to do like the reverse where it's just really long at the sides and there's nothing on top.
I honestly thought it was long all over. How many times have I met you and
so many.
And I've never realized. I'm such a bad friend.
Nah, I think it's dark when we see each other.
I mean, okay.
No, I don't advertise it, Dan. I don't advertise my hairstyle. No.
Do you have like a reverse comb over down the sides?
I need to, man. I've got so little hair left that I need to, it's like an all over comb over.
Does that get worse with the wrestling?
I mean,
you must get bits pulled out all the time, man.
All the time. Yeah. I mean, that's my go to excuse. it's the wrestling. Well, my hair's been pulled out.
I had a friend once who went bald. He's like, yeah, it's because I wear tight hats. Like, shut the fuck up. And he's like no. So there's doctor studies on it. I'm like, yeah. I mean, you know, if that's going to make you feel better, then.
You know how you can find out whether that's true is stop wearing the fucking hat and see what happens. Yeah. Does it come back? Because if it doesn't.
He's definitely still bald.
Oh, no.
So it wasn't the hats. No. Unless the hats did irreparable damage.
Well, they are dangerous. You should. Have you product tested the Horns of Odin hats to
so
they don't turn you bald?
Don't want to get a lawsuit for all the balding men out there.
Oh God, they'll take anything, mate. They will take any excuse to explain.
I know.
It's my high testosterone levels.
It's such a shit thing, isn't it? Because like it doesn't really. I mean, it does happen. I guess it does happen to some women, but it's rare. It's like such a shit thing that it just happens to guys, isn't it? That like we hit 30 and it's like, oh, fuck your hair. You don't need your hair anymore. Or at least not the head hair.
I just think it's your body's way of telling you to die. You've expired. Go now.
as soon as you go bald.
Yeah.
I had some friends who were bald at like 19.
No, I'm teasing. Like, I feel like I make these jokes now because my own hair is thinning. So I feel like I'm not poking fun at our bald friends because I think bald guys look amazing. If I had the cranial structure for it, I'd choose to be bald.
I'm sure. I mean, we'll all find out eventually.
Yeah, ain't no one got hair in the grave. Well, I suppose some people have hair in the grave. It stays there, doesn't it?
Does it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess it does, yeah. My dad's always had a shaved head, so I think
by
he
choice.
Looks well. I always assumed not, but I've held on to mine quite well, so maybe, I don't know. I
haven't worn any hats.
He was in the military, so I think I was in the Navy, so
right.
I imagine he's probably just one of those things. He was very
authoritarian.
Authoritarian? Yeah, that one.
Are his hair?
No, because he was in like the Navy, and then he was in the police, and that kind of career.
Then I know that the Navy, you used to have to like apply if you wanted to have a mustache or a beard. When it got cold, you had to be like, write to the Queen and be like, ma'am, may I grow a beard? I'm quite cold. And then they'd let you grow a beard for a bit. And if it was cool, you could keep it. And if it wasn't, you had to shave it.
Mate, you see it all the time now with like Viking bros where...
Who?
I don't know. Just different versions of us, really.
Yes.
Where they're like, oh, they're in the military and they're like, can somebody explain how I can say that it's part of my religion to keep my beard? You see it all the time.
Yeah.
I work in somewhere where I need a safety mask for my own health, but can somebody tell me how I can get out of wearing this fucking safety mask because it's my religion?
Because I really like having a beard. Yeah,
and dusty lungs.
I've had a beard since I was 23 or something. And I've lost a lot of like acting jobs because I'm just like, oh, I shave my beard off of this. But honestly, it's a beard.
Yeah.
Just shave it off, man.
Yeah, especially when it's like health and safety. Just.
Well, maybe if you're in the forces, it gives you like, you know, if you've got a beard. I don't know. I've never been to war. Maybe having a beard helps you, you know, sum it up.
You go to war every time you step in that ring.
Oh, yeah. I love those analogies when people do that. They're like, yeah, I'm a modern warrior. I'm a modern warrior. Warrior.
It's real to me, God damn it.
I'm the warrior of the pen.
No, I guess what you do is somewhat.
It's not.
All right.
It's not. What I do is dancing with rage.
But it still has a physical element, I guess, of...
Well, yeah, so does building a house. You know, no one talks about the warriors of bricks. Like, you know, I am a dancer who does violent-looking dancing while saying this is real. It's not. And anyone who says it is insane.
No, it's still athletic, though. It's very athletic.
Yep. In the same way that ballet and figure skating are athletic. That is how I think of it. I mean, obviously, like, there's a fine line. You can wrestle for real, you know, and that is very much, very much a war between two individuals. But can you have a war between individuals, Dan? Or is a war between states?
I don't know the definition of war. Put me on the spot there.
Yeah, let's have a podcast about that. Actually, no, let's not.
No, let's just, I think this is more fun.
Than war. There's a setting the bar pretty low.
I mean,
low,
definitely more fun, man, than war. I don't know where Jonas is. He's always fucking late.
Yeah, maybe he's in a war. But yeah, with Jonas, it would be like a sex war, you know?
Oh, yeah, for 100%. Without a doubt, it will be.
Let's ask him when he turns up. Just ask.
Be something kinky.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know what, I was going to do some introduction, but I feel like we should just leave the last 10 minutes in the podcast and then Jonas can just join when he comes. So,
I guess
welcome to the Nordic Mythology Podcast. I'm Daniel Farrand, owner of the company Horns of Odin. And I guess Jonas can come when he comes, but we're going to have some fun on like a Christmas, New Year special recap at all three of our busy years and just hang out. And do you have beer? I think it's the first time you've not had beer, Ed.
I have Valhalla herbal liqueur.
Oh, you do? I thought I saw you drinking Coca-Cola and I was like...
I was also doing that because this came from the gym and I was... This is my fifth gym session since like July, so it is not going well for me. So I'm all about the neat sugar.
Yeah, but you're working out every night.
No,
Wrestling.
this is the thing that people that don't actually train say, you know, when you're like, I haven't been
Yeah.
to the gym for a while. They're like, yeah, but you moved house recently. That's the same. And you're like, yeah, you never trained, did you? So, lifting a
No, but
sofa.
no, but I guess the your performances have to be a level of athleticism and working out.
Yeah, for sure. For like a very short period of time. It's definitely true. But you know, I don't, for a while, I was a strong man for a while. You know, I had to lift things and carry them around, and I became quite good at that and quite strong overall. And now I am basically like a child, and not even a strong child. Not even one of those freakishly strong
The
children.
freak, yeah.
No, I'm just like an average child. It's not good. It's not
Probably
good. Not proud of it.
time to sign up for an ice marathon,
Oh, not again. Never again.
maybe.
Genuinely never again. You know, I have a Valknut tattooed on the ligament that was giving me jip for that entire marathon to try and say, like, fuck you,
I
ligament.
mean, really? I
Yes.
mean, I feel like you can't blame the ligament when you signed up to do a marathon, never doing a marathon, not really being a runner. And then adding the fact it was on ice.
Yeah.
I mean,
Well,
even marathon wasn't hard enough.
No, you're thinking about it the wrong way then. Ice is slippery.
I
So if you
did.
just get some momentum, you just carry on.
Did it work?
Nope. No,
Well,
it did
because
not.
you had studded shoes on.
Well, I had to rent the shoes. That was part of the thing. When you get there, you have to rent the shoes from the company doing it. It's like, I think, like a marketing thing.
Okay.
And when I got fitted for the shoes, the lady was like, oh, so what size running shoes do you normally wear? And I was like, well, I don't know. I've never run. And she was like, excuse me? You know that you're about to run around a lake for 26 miles. And I was like,
Yeah.
yeah, but I'm going to slide. You watch me. Hey, there's
There he is.
Jonas. There
Hey,
he
you
is.
guys.
Oh, we
Hey, you
met.
guys. We already started Jonas in a
Yeah, I
fashion.
know.
Well, it was more that we just ended up talking and it was ended up being fun. So I was like, oh, let's just start.
Yeah, why not?
Reminiscing on the time that I don't know if you know this story, that Ed did, I think it was like England's Strongest Man like 2 days before, and then signed up for an ice marathon,
Close. It was
never doing a marathon before.
I did the ice marathon having never run anywhere. And then 1 month later I had the Southern England's Strongest Man regional qualifiers for the World's Strongest Man. 1 month later, which was as long as it took me to be able to walk again. I should point that
So no training until like,
No, but I could
I
eat.
mean,
I just had to eat to train. And then I came. So then when I got to the day, I was too heavy for the weight category. So I then had to put on all of my clothes and cycle for 2 hours to try and shed the water weight. And then I could compete in the strongman competition.
which is
How did you
exactly what you
do?
want to do.
Oh, I
How did
won.
you do?
I won because people are bitches, you know.
You fucking lunatic. Oh, that's great.
No.
Did you tell any of them? You're like,
Oh,
oh,
yeah.
I won this and I haven't trained all month
Yeah, I
because
did that thing where I was like, dude, I didn't even try. I didn't even try and I beat I didn't really try. Did you do the whole Arnold thing? Like when he meets Lou Ferrigno in Pump and Iron? Have you seen that one where like,
have, yeah.
well, I think it goes something like he says, hey, Lou. You know what? I called my mom yesterday and I told her that I won the competition. So you see, I already won. Nice. Yeah, it's more or less the same exact Yeah,
thing.
kind of like, just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I don't know. I ate a lot of custard in those days, which I'm fairly sure is basically a performance enhancing drug, you know. It's a pack Lots full
of
of.
eggs. Lots of eggs. Instead of having the raw eggs, you just had like raw custard, just like chucking it down.
Exactly. Crème anglaise.
Custard shuts.
I'm not even lying. Yeah, I'm sure you can go back through my Instagram archive. It was pretty custard orientated back then. Yeah, I don't know.
Custard training. It's like
Yeah.
the reverse David Goggins, just like eat a lot of fucking custard. You're like,
Yeah,
fuck that.
I think me and Goggins probably polar opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to everything.
Everything more or less, yeah.
Yeah, achievement for one thing.
Right. Well,
Mental toughness might be up there though, Ed. You completed the marathon. I did. I came last.
Yeah, but it's still an achievement to not give up.
The thing is, I just disagree. I think anyone
you were never going to win.
Well, no, I mean, I don't go out there to win it, let's be sure. But I just think anyone can do it. It's a fucking, just to how you do a marathon, just don't stop, just carry on, and then you're done. It's not, honestly, I don't think when people go out and do a run, how many times have you gone for a run and then you physically, you cannot go any further. You just like collapse on the floor. You're like, I'm done. That has, no one has had that. So the trick is you just carry on. Go for enough hours and then you're like, I've done a marathon. It really is not very difficult. Like the difficult thing is doing it quickly. And I did not do it quickly. So
It's not to break all the fun, but there's a friend of mine who's a yogi, a very, very accomplished yogi, Indian bloke from Bombay. And he said like he had like an interesting thought about humans versus machines, because of course humans, just like machines, we get created. And then at some point we do die. But the difference between us and a machine is created exactly as it is supposed to be from the very beginning, and then it deteriorates. Human beings get better as time goes by if we keep doing the same thing, right? So we're a constant work in progress. And of course, at some point, we also break down. But it's like, it's the difference between us and a machine is that we actually... we get better the more we wear ourselves in a way, you know, the more we sort of like just grind and grind and grind, we get better, whilst the machine would break down the more you grind it, whatever. Interesting.
Your Indian friend, was his name Jean-Paul Sartre by any chance? Because it sounds pretty similar.
Did he mention something about Sartre? I can't remember. Maybe. It rings a bell. It's a long time since we had this conversation, so it could be.
I'm just yanking your chain.
Yeah, why vibe on it? What did Sartre say?
Well, Sartre, it was the bit about the existence preceding the essence. You know, a machine gets built with its purpose already there, whereas a human being gets brought into existence, and then we decide our purpose afterwards the way. We're free to choose to tell that purpose to do one and make a new purpose anytime we like, whereas a machine is not. And so I guess that's why, you know, it's all tied into the idea of working out who you want to be and what you want to do, and then fucking doing it rather than not doing it.
Yep.
Good old Indian friend. Well done him.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Some people have been commenting on my black nails. They're loving my black nails. And I just then could like...
Oh.
Uh-oh. There you go.
The black nails just took him out of the conversation.
Yeah. You know what happened? It's because he did like this. He cast a spell because it was his black nails. And he
did look like it. Yeah.
That's what he said. The last thing I heard him say was, and now
I'm gone.
He'll be back.
He will be back. Hey, did you see the gentleman running the length of Africa? Oh, fucking! What the fuck was that?
That was terrifying. Look,
I was saying all kinds of things. Am I coming through badly?
Yeah.
I mean, badly is one way of putting it. You had the face of a goat.
No, I'm saying, can you not hear me? I was saying all kinds of things.
No, you threw. You literally went. You did wizard hands with your fingers. Stopped, you completely froze, we heard nothing, and then you came back with the face of a goat.
Mm-hmm. For a demon. Yeah, so can you guess why I'm wearing this and why I was wearing this for a couple of hours yesterday?
Sex things.
Definitely sex things, yeah. I feel that relates to
that
maybe...
was sex. That's actually not completely off, but I will not... That wasn't what I was going to tell you about.
Yeah.
There was the fucking Unibug run in Copenhagen yesterday. That's what I went for. The one that Nordic Animism Rune is making in Copenhagen. Oh, cool. Have you heard about this?
I haven't. No,
God.
My head has just been... in work for the last month, you know, it's Christmas. It's a shame.
It just nutty.
It kind of ruins it as well, because you're just so busy working all the time. You don't get to.
It's the same for me.
Enjoy all the festivities.
I had literally 2 days to go and have a little bit of off, like Friday and Saturday. That was it. Like, mm-hmm. I've also just been like fucking. Yeah, it's been mad. It's been fucking mad. I've had. Christmas end of year concert with my singing students and stuff like that. And I'm renovating a house, and yeah, it's been great. It's a lot of work, but for me, it's been very fulfilling work. So even I've been exhausted when I come home, it was just like in a good way, like, oh, it's nice, you know. Yeah. No, I need to tell you.
You don't get time to explore outside of your immediate surroundings. I feel like I just become incredibly selfish for December, and it's not on purpose, but I just don't check in with anybody. I'm just literally working, going to bed, and then people talk to me, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I've missed.
I get quite selfish around Christmas, and it kind of lasts around about till, you know, October, November the next year. And I just
it starts again.
On me.
it was probably this time last year I last heard from you.
Oh, yeah, God, man. I've missed you. I haven't heard you for ages either, you selfish bastard.
Yeah, well, no, I haven't been lovely. In touch with anyone. Of course, there's a theory that me and Jonas are actually the same person because we never get seen at the same time.
There was,
that's correct.
Yeah. And then when Jonas does turn up, he's got a goat mask on, so you don't even know it's not an actor playing Jonas. Exactly. But there he is, so theory disproven.
Must be. This is debunked, finally.
Yes.
Finally debunked.
What were you saying?
I really want to tell you about this because I'm so excited about it. Like, so basically, Runa has rekindled and restarted the ancient tradition of the dark forces bringing in the light for Christmas, basically.
Okay.
So again, this is the whole idea that he works a lot about, you know, he works a lot on with the whole sort of, that there has to be that sort of like connection between the light and the dark, you know, that once that gets separated, that's basically when we have Ragnarok, right? That's when there's no more communication between the gods of order and the gods of chaos, if you will, if that's another way of thinking about it, I suppose. So the idea is that to sort of embrace the darkness is the one carrying the light in, you know, like symbolizing that the light is coming back and all that sort of thing. So basically, it's been going on for a couple of years now. And this year, there were hundreds of people dressed in the most insane fucking, you know, get-ups. Like there was a skull raven, had such a huge fucking paper mache skull raven thing on with like huge feathers sticking up like a big sort of, what do you call it? Like a big collar. And just like any kind of thing. And then there was this big drum kind of group with this insane little old man in a sort of foxy costume, just controlling the whole thing. The whole sort of procession was controlled by him with his whistle. And he comes from like the Zamba environment. So he's done this a billion times, right? So he's just a fucking pro. And he took it, like everyone just followed him. It was insane. The energy was insane. People were howling crazy, like going through the most busy shopping street of Copenhagen, right? So it's like the fucking, what do you call it? Like the pinnacle of like consumerism and plastic Christmas. And then you have these fucking wild ass pagans just running through the street, like with the drums. It's fucking crazy. And I had my djembe with me, so I was just like going around playing with them. And then, so at the end, they stopped at one of the squares and made like a big circle. And then there was fire dancers. And I went in and just joined the drumming procession. And this fox guy sort of called me down. And we ended up having like a chase where he was on his, like his little drums. And I had like a chase with him on my djembe, and people went fucking apeshit. And it was just like so beautiful to see this raw, crazy, chaotic energy in the middle of this very pristine, old town, beautiful shopping street, you know, like colonial to the max, you know, like just beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. So I have to shout out to Runa again for being such a fucking boss and like putting on this madness, facilitating this madness, I'll say.
What was the reaction really like outside?
People were just so like, what the fuck? Like there were so many tourists, right? As well, just everyone was like filming and going mad and just thinking it was the most beautiful thing ever. Like people were just really reacting awesomely to it. Like, so there was like a lot of spectators, of course. So the whole city center was just like filled with, the people standing by and looking at the freaks running up through the.
I mean, there is that.
Oh God, it was wonderful.
You know, Jonas, it's like you planned it, because I just had a conversation with Terry Gunnell before this, and we were speaking about folklore in Iceland and about how that ties to the Yule tradition. And it was amazing how different it is to our Christmas, how it seems very dark. A lot of the stories are kind of evil almost. It's monsters coming and stealing kids or chasing them away, and you have to feed them to kind of get rid of them. And it's so different to our kind of jovial Christmas that we probably grew up with, Ed, I imagine.
You're referring to me? Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying how...
Our jovial Christmases.
Yeah, we grew up in kind of, I assume, in an English tradition of like a very happy Christmas,
yeah.
Whereas the Icelandic kind of folklores were seemed very kind of dark, and that idea of darkness for the winter period and then bringing in the light and the happiness kind of throughout the summer months. So if people want to learn more about that, definitely check out the episode before this with Terry Gunnell.
Yeah. It's interesting how it seems to have a lot more to do like with the seasons, you know, and the coming of light and the coming of darkness. Whereas when we grow up, it's like some man may or may not slide down your chimney. That is it.
I mean, I think also, it's like when you look at the different holidays and so on that we have, and even that I suppose they had back then, there would be spring, which would all be all about, the bugs and the birds and the bees and love and sky and ground and nature, marriage, like how could you say, like nature's sexuality mirroring the
can't
human
help himself,
sexuality.
Can't fucking help himself going there. always to the sex side of stuff.
So it makes sense, I feel, that some traditions also, in some sense, even if it's not maybe honoring the darkness, it's like putting focus on it, because that's super fucking important. We don't do that in our modern times. And then there's so many, in psychiatry and so on, that talks about the sort of like focus on avoidance of, for instance, thinking about death, for instance, and these kind of things. Like, it's like we're sort of constantly, we're so focused on death, but we're focused on death in how do we get around it? How do we stop it? And it's kind of like frantic and I would say not beneficial, because I feel that if we do, it's like the old Bushido, like samurai code, like the big questions in life you have to take lightly, and the small things in life you have to take with utmost, importance and severity and whatever. And what it basically means is that you have to have thought so much about the big things in life that you can sort of put them aside and then focus on being present with whatever the fuck you're doing, whether it's sitting and doing a podcast, whether it's washing the dishes or whatever. So I think the idea of having a festival like that, that sort of like brings light to the darkness, and the darkness also brings the light in some sense, that whole cyclical interchangement thing, I think that's absolutely fucking brilliant. And if we can do that, having a fucking great time while we do it,
even
so
better.
so much the better. Exactly. Indeed. So I would advise anyone who listens to this right now and hears this to go and do this in your own hometown, even if you live in a shit
switch
little,
off all
you know,
the lights in your house.
You switch off all the lights in your house
and just sit there
in darkness. No, make processions like this in your own towns. Do that.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, do it. March in the streets.
March in the streets. Put on some funny clothes. Forget about all your inhibitions and whatever it is, and just fucking get higher on your own supply and just go fly.
Yeah, I think.
Ooh.
Don't wave your fingers.
We have such a detachment to it now, because it's kind of a given that most people are going to make it to the next day, or people take for granted that they're going to make it to the next day. Whereas, back, 1,000 years ago, there was no guarantee you were getting through the winter, or that the sun was going to come up. Well, not like the sun was going to come up, but the days were going to get longer. Like, it might not have happened. As Terry was telling me, it didn't happen in the 500s when after a volcano. So
Fimbul winter.
Yes, yeah, so it might not happen. So people kind of had to appreciate these things and worship to them. And it was, whereas now we're just, I don't know, we all think of these huge issues that are going on around the world, which are going on, and and it is terrible, but we just kind of so detached from his own little bits. I don't know.
What's so terrible?
I'm not getting to that now.
No, you're not. I was just joking.
We nearly cancelled the podcast earlier. Yeah, and made a war podcast.
A war podcast?
Yep. We talked about it. We were going to just talk about wars.
We did, yeah. We did speak about wars before. Edward, why did you think Jonas might be late?
I assumed you were in a sex war.
I'm always in some sort of sex war. That's true. Yes.
Aren't we all?
It has to be a little bit, right? Like,
that's a Rammstein lyric, isn't it? I'm pretty sure.
If it isn't, it should be.
It definitely is. One of the lyrics is like, sex is a battle, love is war, which sounds much cooler in German.
Yeah,
for sure.
Liebe ist Krieg, I think.
Liebe ist Krieg, yeah.
Liebe ist Krieg.
Sex is a battle, love is war.
I think so, right. Sex ist eine Schlaucht.
Eine Schlaucht?
Yeah. Schlaucht. Liebe ist Krieg. So I think Rammstein just say things because it sounds cool, which, to be fair, is all music, apart from yours, obviously, Jonas. Oh, shit.
I actually had a really funny thing here. That friend of mine, she sent a video of her 2-year-old daughter, who apparently absolutely fucking loves Skinner Nariash, right? Like, she loves that track of Nibala. I think it's the fourth track, I think. Mm. And that track is all about basically Skirnir cursing Earth Goddess with, like, fucking, he's gonna force her with a big fat rod. He's gonna kill her family, and she still just doesn't want to go with him to go and have sex with Freyr. That's the whole point of the story. But when he then curses her with, or threatens her with, infertility, and that she's going to stand at the gates of hell and drink goat's piss, and she's going to be fucked by many men, and she's not going to feel any pleasure, that's when she finally decides to come. And actually, it's a beautiful thing when you really look at it, because the whole idea is that it's the marriage of sky and ground that has to happen. Because if it doesn't, then the whole world falls apart, right? That's the image of the story, and so on, at least in my interpretation. But, you know, seeing this little girl, this little 2-year-old girl, just like when the drums come on, and she's just like, she gets so excited, she doesn't know what to do herself. She goes crazy. I was just like, that's really sweet, but it's good that she doesn't. Yeah, it's good that she's 2. Yeah, no, like,
yeah, 2 is probably a strong age for listening to things. Because you don't know what they're about.
So yeah, no, no, what they're about. You're just feeling the vibe of the drums and just going with it, right?
Some of my best work was done when I was 2. most people say it's been a gradual decline ever since.
Same here, man. Same here, bro. I had my most important concert ever was when I was 3.
Oh, yeah? Is that serious? He's cut off. He's doing this on purpose. I think you're right, Ed.
He drops his bombshells and then disappears.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is like a marketing ploy.
Yeah, told you.
He just cuts out as soon as he says something and just leaves.
Yeah. I'm in a constant sex war. When he goes.
I feel like he'd be good enough to hold a conversation. It's better than your van was better than this.
My van, man, was better than most things. You know, it's gone moldy, though. I left it alone for like 4 months while I was touring with my show, and came back and it had leaked and gone moldy. So, going to be a big old repair job.
I was going to say, are you going to fix it?
I have a lot of choice, really. No one's going to buy a moldy van, so I'm going to have to fix it and then either keep it or sell it. So if anyone else there wants the infamous world-renowned Guildsmobile, not moldy, I am going to fix it. Get in touch.
You probably should have left that bit out.
Yeah, marketing is not my strong point. You can Google it. You Google Ed Gamester van, and there's a whole tour on YouTube of the van. So you can see what you're getting yourself into. It's great.
One day,
it's
great.
Yeah.
And that video was made before it toured the world. So think how much glory is now.
I'm assuming you have a tour bus now.
People assume many things, Dan. No, we do not have a tour bus. We ride the tram to work. Like the rock stars we are.
So, obviously, you just played in London, Clapham?
Yeah, boy. Yeah, we just played in Clapham, which is badass, a great way to end the year. Previously to that, we were in Melbourne, Australia for 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks, actually, I think I was there.
Tell me about this, because we've not spoken since, well, for a while. I didn't even know you were in Australia until I just randomly saw it maybe on Instagram towards the end. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
What the fuck's he doing? How's that happened?
Yeah, I didn't really tell anybody that we were going. Because I don't know. Like, it's not like people in the UK or Europe are going to fly to Australia to see Mythos, right? So, and I don't have really, I don't know anyone in Australia. So there was no one I could really announce this tour to. It was more going over to Australia and then having to try and build a new audience for our show, which proved to be incredibly difficult.
Jonas, you look quite fluid now. You look confused, but you look quite stable.
You look smooth, man.
Yeah, he always looks handsome, but...
Oh, dear.
Whilst Jonas sorts that, please tell me about... I'm genuinely interested in the whole Australia tour, because it felt like you obviously had an amazing run at the Fringe. And then next thing I heard, you were breaking Australia.
Yeah. So, yeah. How do I even begin... one of the things we did this year was we went to Brighton Fringe, Brighton in the UK, because a lot of these names also are in Australia. So please, I'll clarify if they're in Australia, no questions. So we were in Brighton. We were performing, as we do, is what we do. And some of the other people there. So we were the second biggest selling show at Brighton Fringe, which is a lovely thing. But I only mention that because the top selling show at Brighton Fringe was called Gods, which is a Greek mythology themed gymnastics acrobatics show.
The fuckers. How dare they?
I know, son of a bitch. So they called me, and these guys are legit, man. They're a big deal. They're called Head First Acrobats. They're absolutely just, they're fucking awesome. They're awesome. Anyway, they called me and said, look, we tour in Australia. We're trying to put together like a crew. Do you want to come over to Oz and tour with us and do our venues? So I said, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Of course, because
just you or the whole team.
No, man. No, Dan, there's a one man interpretation of Mythos, just me and 10 hats. No, it was the whole team.
All right, you wanker. I thought you made it sound like you were maybe joining their little bit.
I did. No, I kind of, yeah. No, I did make it sound like that. No, they invited the Mythos Ragnarok, the cast of my show, to go and with them. So I said yes, because it's me, and I don't think about things. And so I didn't consider that it costs £10,000 a week to move my show around if you're going to take it to the other side of the world. So lo and behold, Dan, we went to Edinburgh Fringe, where we had a wonderful time, and then we flew off to Melbourne, where, I'm going to be honest here, nobody knows that Melbourne has a Fringe festival. When people talk about Fringe, people have heard of Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
Many people have heard of Adelaide Fringe. It's the second biggest in the world. No one, literally not one human being in the world, has heard of Melbourne Fringe. And so there we were. There we were, 10,000 miles away from home in a car park. Now, the venue was fantastic, and it was put on by Head First Acrobats, and it was a wicked space that they built, but no one in the city of Melbourne knew we were there. And so began a month of trying to tell Melbourne that we were there and get them to come see the show before we left, which was without a doubt the hardest thing I have ever done in my entire life. But hey, I survived, and we're going back to Australia, to Adelaide, where people will know that we're there, and is a bigger deal. We'll be there in February and March. But yeah, it was more like, you know, no one else is doing a show like mine, you know, like whether you come from a theatrical background or a wrestling background.
Maybe for good reason.
Yeah, for like a catalog of good reasons. But like, whether you're interested in wrestling as a wrestler or as someone who likes it, whether you're interested in the theater or whether you're interested in the mythology, right? No one is telling the myths or the stories like I do. There isn't anyone. And that's, you don't often get to say that of an art form, but there is literally no one in the world doing
crazy, man. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. If I'm proud of one thing, it's that. And so,
What's crazy isn't that you got the idea. People get lots of fucking crazy ideas all the time. The fact is that you did it, and it actually is something that's good. That's the crazy thing.
Well, thank you. I mean,
yeah. No, Jesus, like fucking being a creative, you get tons of, super, you think in your head, great ideas, and then you try it out and you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, yeah. 99% of the time. And, also with this one, but like.
Yeah.
But it's the same skills that got you through the ice marathon. It's the stubbornness of, this is my idea, I'm going to do it for the first however long. I'm going to lose money, but eventually
forever I will lose money, man. This show will never make any money
as much money.
No, can't be.
It's I only have one skill, and that is the inability to give up on stuff when I love it. And so that's what I'm doing. That's the guild. That's, I said I was going to do it, so I'm fucking doing it. And it's by a long way a bad idea in many, many respects, but people enjoy it and I'm going to keep doing it. And,
I still don't even know what it is. What is it? I see it everywhere. I know it's something about people that are together, but I'm just seeing Ed. So you are the guild.
You're referring to the guild.
I thought you meant the mythos. Mythos is like pretty clear. Like, it's pretty clear what that is.
But Yon, you can't come on and ask him that question.
Who are you?
That's not what you talked about. You talked about thus the guild was a bad idea. I can't judge whether it's a bad idea or not, because I don't know what the fuck it is.
What is it really?
I don't know what the guild is. I think I asked you on an early episode what the guild was, and you didn't even know the real definition of the guild.
Stop for a second. This is the beautiful thing about being in your mom's house and doing a podcast like this. Because she comes and puts a note for me like this. And for those who can read Danish, it says, Ikke så meget fuck. Please don't say fuck so much, Jonas.
Oh, bless her.
Sorry, Jonas's mum.
Mom, you're fucking great.
Oh,
this
bless
is just her. Fucking great. Bless
That's
you.
The sweetest thing. Your mum is lovely.
I'm so then.
Oh, bless her.
Bless her.
If she only knew everything else you got up to her.
Oh, exactly. Well, she knows most of the things, unfortunately. I have a very good relationship with my mom, much to her chagrin. So she gets to hear about all the terrible things.
Did I meet your mom at Midgarsport?
I think you might have.
Your mom and dad were there.
Yeah. Well, you might have met my mom with his girlfriend. I mean, with my dad. No, they haven't changed genders and all that. No, my dad with his girlfriend, and you might have met my mom as well. I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe. I think they were sat near me when you were.
Oh, yeah.
Your wonderful performance.
Thank you.
I have never made it to Midgard's Blot.
This year. We'll do it.
Let's all do it. Yeah. When is it? August?
Yes.
There. I'll be in Edinburgh.
You're doing Fringe again.
Yes, unfortunately,
but
performing for thousands of people.
Yeah, it's so terrible. Oh, dear. Oh, God. One never gets any peace.
No.
No. Well, when are you doing Fringe? Is it the whole month?
Yes, okay, yes. Every day of August.
All right.
Because I hate myself and my knees.
I mean, on a serious note, that must be excruciating because...
Yeah.
I don't think you've had the chance to see it live yet, but it is the athleticism and the pain. I mean, you get the whole argument of, wrestling is not real. Yeah, whatever, it's scripted. But there's still a huge amount of athleticism there to do what you do. But to do it, night after night after night is not easy. I played rugby for a long time and I could play one game a week and I needed a few days to recover.
Yeah.
So to keep getting up every day for 30 days is a huge achievement in itself, let alone putting the show on.
Hell yeah.
Well, you don't have it's not like you have a huge cast where if somebody gets injured, you're like, oh, well, we'll just sub in lucky number two.
Yeah, if you get hurt, you kind of just have to carry on, unfortunately. Yeah, we've had torn bits and pieces. In various members of the cast, but you just kind of get on with it, don't you? Yeah, it's rough. It's certainly not an easy way of doing anything. And one day I'll probably have to accommodate for that, you know, having different choreography. The reality is, right, people talk about my show in this way, and it's very nice of them to say, but the physicality of Mythos is far less than the physicality of any actual working wrestler, even just on the camp scene. Like, the amount of wrestling we actually do on a nightly basis is minimal. Some of the people in the show only wrestle for like 90 seconds. Right. You know, compared to actually wrestling or being a working wrestler, it's negligible. But right. It is choreographed, so it is the same shit every day. So even though you might, I mean, I do more or less anyone else in the show, but none of it's that hardcore. But when it's the 28th time in a row that you've been dropped on this exact part of your shoulder, it starts to suck. So the sensible thing is that we just alternate A and B choreography. We have one set of moves we do one day, one set we do another day. And we just, you know, we experiment.
If one has like one dislocated shoulder, you just dislocate the other one to create balance.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to harmoniously, you know? you got to, if one of your Achilles tendons snaps, you just use the other one for a few days.
Have you had any, because with any live show anything can go wrong, have you had any near misses, injuries where?
Oh, for sure.
Because obviously, especially with wrestling, you know, there's a ton of like horror stories where things are
I'm not allowed to say how dangerous it is, really, because for insurance reasons, you know, if it all goes wrong one day and I'm like, whoa, it was an accident. And they're like, yeah, here's you on the Nordic Mythology podcast saying how incredibly dangerous it is. Then I'm not going to get a payout. Okay, but like is, if I can, like the penultimate, no, I think it was the last or second to last show of Fringe. No, not the last, either second to last or third to last show of Fringe. I just came down weirdly and I tore something in my ankle that meant I couldn't put any weight on that foot for the rest of the shows. So I just had to do the shows on one foot. It wasn't broken. I went and got it x-rayed a few days later and it wasn't broken, but it was black and it was blue and I couldn't put any weight on it. What are you going to do? You know, there's no one else in the country that can play Odin in my show at the moment. I'm try as I might to cast somebody. There's nobody. You know, if anyone else knows a professional wrestling stage combat sword fighter actor who wants to be involved in a penniless theater show, by all means, get in touch. It's great. But yeah, it's only me. So if I'm concussed or have a broken arm or a dislocated ankle, the show must go on. So
How about the States for that show? I was thinking like the States would be fucking everyone would go crazy for it.
Yeah,
yeah. Have you performed in America?
No.
Exactly. Nobody has, because America hates art. Like, if you try and go to America as an artist to do anything, they basically just say they're going to murder you.
But Americans do love wrestling and they do love anything. But,
you know what Americans love most? What Americans love most is Americans. And so if you're like, I'm going to bring my show, my band, my art to America and put it on, you know, they just go like, why can't we do that? Yeah. Why can't you just come here and let the American people do that? You're like, well, because my thing. They're like, well, just hire some Americans to do it. You're like, well, then it's not my thing. They're like, well, then get out. You can't fucking, like, the visa application process to try
I know.
It's just,
I know
unless,
all of this.
You basically have to prove that you are the only people in the world that can do what you do. For a band, you know, that's arguable because it's your music. But if it's a theater piece, you can just hire American actors or American wrestlers to do it. So they won't let us in to do it. We can go anywhere else in the world. We can go to Thailand. We can go to Canada. You know, anywhere else. But in America, they're like, no, you can't be coming here with your art. Not generating work for the American artists. You're like,
I have a way of getting around that, perhaps.
Murder.
I feel like that might be worse for insurance than.
Yeah, that's why they're not letting me in. But
well, you can go. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, because you know, even though I haven't tried it myself, I have tons of friends who've toured America, and even for bands, it's fucking, you know, apeshit difficult. Like it's so fucking crazy, you know.
Yes.
But you're right about the whole sort of, you have to be able to say that this is something that we're the only ones who can do. But you have to also understand that Americans are idiots when it comes to culture as well. So that's a benefit for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what you're saying is that no, because you're going to say that the kind of mythology that you're focused on is mythology from Northern Europe, and therefore This is something specifically that you can only do. Otherwise, it is what? It is what? What's the word? Otherwise,
it is cultural appropriation.
Indeed, what do the Americans not want to do? No fucking. You just have to play on that card.
I would agree if most of them weren't convinced that they are Vikings. And that it's their culture that, if anything, I, as a foolish Englishman who is descended from these people, is appropriating American culture and American Vikingism. Yeah, I know what you mean, man. And I think that's how we'd probably have to pitch it that way.
The thing is, if you do really break through in that market, that's also when, you know, if you can make it here, you'll make it.
It's beautiful. Isn't Barbara going to do a cover of that?
This podcast has so many American listeners, and I'm terrified right now.
You're going to lose them all.
They're all gone.
Yeah, no, but let's be clear. Let's be clear. The reason that we're having this thing is that we want to go to America because we want to perform there. Like, we want to perform our show for an American audience, not just because America is by a long way the biggest market for it, but also because we genuinely want to be there. And what's frustrating is it's not the American people, it's the federal government or whoever it is that decides that they won't let outside artists in because they think that what they're doing is to the benefit of the American people when it, you know, demonstrably is not.
That's
so frustrating. Yeah, like, we don't want to go to America. Like, I'd love to go there. And I'd love to think that in 10 years' time, like, Mythos will have its own base in the States. And that will be the biggest biggest audience for it. It's just, So I say this, this is the last thing I'm going to say about it, is I get lots of people from the States asking me to go there with the show, which I love. And I have lots of people from the States asking me to film the show so that they can watch it before I can get there. And I never do because you have to see my show live.
Yeah.
You can't watch it recorded. But what I want to say
I have to give a testament to that, because the first time I saw it was, I've watched wrestling as a kid, but I remember the first time when me and Sarah came to watch it, and it was the first show you ever did.
It was.
And there is just something about never seeing wrestling live before and just seeing the impact, feeling the impact, feeling the music, the show of it. Like, it doesn't translate to like being recorded. And yeah, you would still enjoy it, but there is something you have to see live.
Thank you. Well, I totally agree with that in terms of the wrestling.
I would say I'm skeptical. I know I haven't seen your show. So I realize there's some knowledge here that I don't have. But I will, because I'm moving back to the UK now, so I will fucking say it. Yeah.
So we'll go together.
Exactly, Dan. We'll go together, have a little bromance, have a little dinner before, you know.
Candlelit. We'll recreate the Lady and the Tramp scene. So with this
the meme that was made, the spaghetti and the meatballs. Absolutely.
The other thing, sorry,
I just wanted to say about the whole filming it. I'm absolutely sure that you could find a videographer who would find some kind of super creative way of doing it.
I don't want to. I have the film. I have the show filmed many times already. I've got loads of cool footage. That's how I make all the videos and stuff. I have no doubt that I would find a cinematographer who could create a really interesting version of it. Yeah. But I made the show because I'm passionately interested in storytelling, live storytelling and human connection. And the idea that I can stand in front of whether it's 5 people or 500 people and have a connection with those people for an hour, like a real chemical, visceral connection that extends from them caring about my well-being when I'm being slammed about the place to the stories that I'm telling. And I really believe that that is what my show does that other shows maybe don't do to the same extent. And I think that by filming it and removing that, I think you could still create a product or an experience of incredible quality. But I think that the spirituality and the human connection would be completely lost. And that, if anything, that's why I wanted to make this show. Was I wanted to get out there and tell these incredible stories to other people face to face, where they can see the whites of my eyes and the blood running out my nose.
Totally get your point there, but you could probably still do maybe something, which I'm only saying it not because I want to sit and watch it. I want to come see it live, obviously, and I think everyone does. But what it would be if you could do just like, what do you mean, like, is it an hour the whole show? How long is it? 2 hours?
Between an hour and a half and 2 hours, depending on
If you could get a really good editor and a really good cinematographer to film it and make a 5-10 minute awesome teaser trailer that would sort of tap into some of the highlights and sort of still not tell the whole story, but give that real feeling of what it is.
How
you know,
you the own. This.
Oh, have you had an idea such as
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had four cameras on us in Edinburgh, and we had four cameras on us in Clapham with the idea of creating almost exactly that—a little bit of a dip of the toe into the world.
Exactly, because it's a flower to the bees, you know, just to bring them in and to have that experience that you're talking about. Because I totally understand that.
I think the problem is people don't want to fucking travel. And as annoying as it is, like, unless you can take that show to somebody's city,
yeah,
they'll be like, I really want to come see it, but it's an hour away. And Ed, obviously, we're both good friends with Sean, Sean Parry, the tattooist. You know, like, he's one of the best tattooists in the world. He has people coming from, well, particularly when it comes to, like, Nordic style. Like, he has people coming from America, from Australia, to come to this little place in his little studio in Clandudno to get tattooed by him. But then he'll get somebody from Huddersfield, well, near where I am, that's 2 hours away. They're like, let me know if you're ever near, because 2 hours is a bit far to travel.
Yep.
And it's like this idea that people don't want to travel to see these amazing things. So as much as you want to create these videos to pull people in, unless you take it to somebody, you can only get that
it's
audience.
Quite amazing. So far, this is no word of a lie. In London, we've had people come from Seattle and Czech Republic and Japan to see Mythos. And then we get other people in Birmingham dude, when are you going to be in Birmingham? It's like, oh, I mean, also, just as a blanket policy to everyone out there, it's not up to me where we perform. Right? It sounds silly, but it's not like every theater in the UK is like, Ed, come to us. Come, when are you going to be there? Like, I have to apply and like beg to be put on. So like, if I'm not in your town, I'm super sorry. It's not because I'm not trying to be. Manchester and Liverpool especially, everyone's like, come to Manchester. I'd fucking love to come to Manchester. If you can find me a theater in Manchester that will take me, please let me know, because it's not up to me. It's not like I can just like take my pick of where I perform. I would love to.
Not yet.
Ditto countries. I'm doing my best. We're going to be in Australia, Canada, I think Germany, Switzerland, hopefully the Netherlands, and also, this is cool, Paris. There's going to be a French language adaptation of Mythos opening in Paris next year.
What are you talking about? Who's going to do that?
Look at his little face. He's so happy about it.
I just can't believe it's actually. This was floated to me like a year ago, and I was like, all right, fine. And it's happening. They've translated it into French and everything.
Wow.
I know.
That's great, because I thought you were going to do like a Eddie Izzard thing, like where you go and you learn French and then do the whole thing in like poor English French.
I have so no funny. Skills.
It would be like the English coming and doing the whole, doing the thing, you know, like the whole, you silly English knickets.
Yeah. Well, I definitely want to do a film noir version of Mythos.
Oh, yeah.
Which is in French and is black and white and everyone is just smoking endless cigarettes. And it's called Le Mythos. And
Le Mythos.
And it's maybe like based around, I don't know, gangsters. It's the same story.
That'd be pretty cool, you know, like stop buzzing me a cigarette, Loki. Oh, God's sake, what do you come here for?
You're hired, Jonas.
Thank you.
There's no money.
I'd love to. You know,
without getting too serious and too like bro-y, I guess. It makes me so happy when I see stuff like this, Ed, because the amount of work you put into it and seeing the journey from the first one, it's such a pleasure. Like, and the same thing goes for you, Jonas. When to see you both succeed and doing things and doing having these little adventures and expansion, it's just so lovely. It just makes me smile so much.
Well, thank you, man. But the same goes to you, because you know. I know we've been on this podcast since you started it, and I am literally, Dan, I am wearing, look at this.
Like, I know that's an old, that's
not just that sleeveless. Like,
Although they're even older.
Oh my wearing freaking the tracksuit bottoms that we wore on like the first ever Horns of Odin photo shoot. So yeah. we've
watched. Hey, dude, think about that. Like, that's good. That's good commercial. Like, that's a good promotion for your stuff. Like, he's wearing the old stuff and it looks fucking swanky.
I don't wear the
still,
new stuff,
you know,
as shit.
Yeah, the new stuff is shit.
You know what? The one thing we are terrible at is just not combining forces. Because I feel like we all do cool shit, and there must be an avenue to pull it together somehow.
That's correct.
And it would be so much better for us all. But
yes.
Don't do it. Like, obviously, Ed, you have your. I think your show would greatly benefit from live music. Well, no, that's more being, like a live performance would take it to like that next level of
yes.
And then
what's the in English? You have the priest, and below the priest is a deacon. Is that correct? Or
you are asking the wrong
the wrong crowd.
Person.
But the church servant, let's say, you know. Yeah. So there's a priest, and then there's a church servant. He's the one who takes care that the priest has everything that the priest needs, and so on. So we have a saying in Denmark that when it rains on the priest, it drips on the priest's servant. So the whole idea. There is sort of like when you are a lot of people together and you're doing a lot of cool things, you know, if it works really well out for someone, it should also sort of trickle down to whoever's in your circle of crazy creatives and that sort of thing. So yeah, I agree with you, Dan. It's there's lots of ways we can pull our forces together and do different things together. It's just about. Sometimes I think it's just about timing as well, you know? It's about timing and, you know, everything aligning and, oh, I'm actually doing this. Oh, that so happens that I'm actually doing this thing that might match. And then, you know, we pull our forces together. But it has to be something like that. It can't be forced either, right?
No.
For sure. I'm just laughing at the conversation is all, you know? Just three guys being like, yo, we're all so cool. You know, it would be super cool if we all got together and made one thing that was like even cooler.
Like
this is the most like bro conversation. Like, man, you're cool. I love you. But you know what's also cool?
Yeah.
Me. Let's do a thing.
let's all pee and combine the streams and make it one huge stream, you know, like stream of potency.
It's just also the whitest thing, you know. It's just, it's amazing. I love
it's
us.
The whitest
it is, though, isn't it? It's just like,
no, it's not. Come on, have you ever seen fucking like gangster rap and shit like that? It's all about money, my thing, and we're all together in the hood.
They have a high.
I know. Hey, Ed, don't look at me like that.
We'll bleep.
I'm not looking at anyone like anything.
We'll bleep.
Don't fucking do this. This was a reference.
I know
what they say. God fucking damn it!
No, I was just surprised because I
hate this fucking.
No, I just for a minute I thought someone had put on some actual gangster rap.
Oh, that's what. Okay. Oh,
and I was like, whoa, what's this?
Oh, yeah.
Who's this?
Oh, wow, it's so cool.
It was uncanny, is what I'm in my expression.
I know
was.
I'm not allowed to say that. Fuck this, shit.
This
part,
you know what? One of you two will be, well, probably this episode when you put the two of you together will be the downfall of the podcast. So let's just go out in a blaze of glory. It's all right, Jonas. We can beep it.
Well,
it's fine.
I think a blaze of glory.
No, I mean, the reason I was sitting like that was wondering whether I should make this argument, but I don't want to turn this podcast into a talk about you can say and can't say, and because I have some theories about that, you know, but. Let's let it go. I hope everyone understands. I did not talk about the guys who are working for free for me in my yard and that I beat when they don't obey. Okay, that's not what I talked about. I talked about people that have each other's back and are each other's boys. Okay,
yeah.
My homies, my boys.
I mean, for a moment, I actually thought you were confessing that Nabala music is made in sweatshops in Indonesia. That's what I interpreted from it. I was like, whoa.
It's not far off.
Kids have got some talent, man.
It's not far off. It's just not in Indonesia. It's like everyone who works for Nibala hasn't been, you know, paid any significant amount of money. So I suppose
people
in
can
a way
to that hard.
I'm so sure.
You know,
everyone's fucking zealot. You know, everyone in the band, and they have to be until we reach a kind of point where you know there's some money. You know, that's
but
the
again,
kind of thing.
Without going back to the proverbial sucking each other off. It goes
Does
down
that
to,
happen in Proverbs? Oh, it sounds like
know.
A, okay, go on.
Does sometimes, maybe.
Jerking each other off, maybe.
Yeah, it's that idea of, you know, everybody's there because of the two of you. You both got an idea, and I've said it to you many times, Ed. You know, the people follow you because you have this idea and this vision, and you put on this performance, and you bring these people together, and they... It's not about the money. Obviously, everybody would like money and they would like to earn a good, like, everyone would love to earn an amazing wage, but they're there because they believe in the idea and the future and the longevity. And that is a testament to the two of you and the things that you put together. And that's the last nice thing, man, I'm going to say today. So
thank you. I think that's true. I think maybe also the people on my crew are maybe just fascinated to see how long I can possibly keep this up. And maybe they're just like, whoa, this is more like, less that they believe.
They're just waiting for you to crash and burn so they can take care of you and be sweet to you. And cuddle
sometimes
you a bit.
I feel like it's a sympathy thing. But certainly they all say to me, I'm only here because of Jonas. That's what they say. They're like, I only do Mythos because of Jonas Lorentzen. That's the only reason I'm here, because of that guy.
No,
thanks, Dan. Thanks.
Hey, but by talking about all that, so I'm moving to Exeter on the 28th or the 29th, whatever.
He's moving to the place in the UK that has the most sex in his name.
Obviously.
Yeah. Almost.
Sex. I'm moving to Sexeter.
Sexeter.
He's sexy.
That's what it'll be called after. When you've been there a year, that's what they'll change it to.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm gonna insist on it. In fact,
sorry, mate, I cut you off there. Go on.
Do you have shows January, February, something like that, or
me?
I want to come see it. When is the next one?
We've been trying to play in Exeter, weirdly enough, for about 2 years. The next UK show will be a series of little developmental shows we're doing in London, where we're going to run the show 6 times, and we're going to change it up every time. With different directors, different designers, and we're going to see what... we're going to throw a bunch of shit at the wall and see what sticks, basically.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'd love to come and see that. That'd be brilliant.
Please get stuck in. We'll be doing sound design, so your input would be very much welcomed as a creative. Our next big London show will be next autumn, probably. I can't say what that's going to be because I'll be murdered by the Illuminati. But, you know. Yeah,
yes,
keep your eyes peeled. But otherwise, we're touring internationally for most of this year. But yeah, we'll be back.
All right.
In Exeter.
Cool. In Exeter. Hey, maybe I can, you know, make that happen now that I'm moving there. I can sort of try to find out, push some things for you.
That'd be great. You know? I would love to see
you. When Jonas becomes the mayor of Sexeter.
Exactly.
It'll be. You'll have a residency there, Ed.
Well.
You'll have a residency. Yeah, indeed.
That's just like Jonas's
house. What happens in Exeter stays in Exeter.
No doubt.
All right, I've got about 20 minutes before I need to leave. So,
cool.
Jonas, tell us about Nibala. We spent so much time talking about fucking Ed show.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm sick of it, Ed.
To be fair, Ed has more to say at the moment because Nibala really is. I'll tell you about Nibala in this way. So basically, we've been wanting to write new material now. And I can't obviously say too much about what the material is going to be about, but it's quite an ambitious project. And it requires doing research from all kinds of different places in the world. And it all has to kind of fit together. And it's a huge thing. And then I've had the problem of starting to write music, which is something that really shocked me in a way, because I've had so much going on recently with teaching and with the move to Exeter and just tons of things that I've been doing. And certain life changes and so on, family constellation things to think about, how we're going to mitigate all kinds of shit. So whenever I've thought, okay, I have an evening free here to go to the studio and just lock myself in and do it, for some reason, I've just never gone. And it's like I haven't been able to find inspiration. And then I've been beating myself up about it because I've been like, Jonas, you're a fucking musician. You just go into the studio and then things just come out. But for some reason, I've just kept not being able to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then this Friday, I had a kind of epiphany or whatever, or something. Something came to me. I was overflowing with the kind of inspiration to write this particular piece of music, and it literally came out of nowhere. And I just had to bring my phone up and just like do the different like melodies that came to my head and the different ideas of how it was going to be arranged and so on, and then tell myself, this is what you're thinking right now. So future Jonas, I hope this triggers all the memories of what this sounds like. Because it's again this kind of thing where the music comes to me and it sounds incredible in my head. But again, can I do that justice? Can I make perfect tribute to whatever came to me over there?
We've already talked about you doing a tribute.
That was a tribute to a song that came to me during a hero's dose of psilocybin mushrooms. But that's a whole different thing. I wasn't that influenced by anything, I think, at that point. So it doesn't matter. The point is just that it came to me and I, it felt like the beginning of like, now the record is going to be made. So hopefully over the next 2 months, we will have everything recorded and done and then sent to mixing and mastering and everything. And hopefully there's going to be an album ready by August, hopefully around mid-Gospel time. So that's literally what that would be, very convenient. Yes. And we, so I'm really just focused on that really right now. I'm just focused on creating the next thing. But I think one of the things that kind of has stopped me a little bit, and you as both creatives and business people as well, maybe you'd be able to understand some of this, because actually, Rob, the percussionist, and I, we had a funny discussion about a Kate Bush song, which is called Get Out of My House. And it's on her, I think, fourth or fifth album or something like that. You know, so on the first album, that's when, you had Wuthering Heights and Running Up That Hill, those songs that everyone know, like Running Up That Hill, Running Up That Building, and all that sort of thing.
Playing Kate Bush.
Huh?
I just thought someone was playing Kate Bush there for a second.
Ah, you're too kind, yes. Don't you? No, just have to talk to a man, don't you?
I do, actually.
You do that. Yes, you do. Anyway, the point is that she had those hits on the first album, right? She had those thing, and then later on this song, Get Out of My House, it's so trippy, this song. It's so out there. It's like so many weird things happening. At the end of it, she's like screaming like a donkey, like, E-oh! E-oh! And it's like the beat is like, it's like insane. It's absolute avant-garde madness track. And then what Rob and I found out is that, you never go full donkey on the first album.
Okay.
You wait with that.
You get the fans first.
You get the fans first, and then you can introduce them to going full donkey. The problem with the bar is that we went full donkey on the first. The first album.
Yeah.
So you need to release a prequel.
I need to release the prequel now, which isn't full donkey. Which is just a little fold.
It's
a little
ass.
Cute. It's just a little ass. A little ass, That's what
the
we have
mule.
To do. So even though I'm super ambitious and I want to make, I always feel like I want to make music that breaks boundaries and all that sort of thing, I also have to think a little bit about like, hey, there's also a really cool challenge in making a song that'll stick and that'll get people in. That's a really cool challenge because I don't really do that ever. I always go full donkey,
You have to.
You don't want to half-ass it.
Nice.
That's really, that's so bad, but it's so good still. Thank you very much.
No, I didn't want to.
It's true though. As annoying as it is, you have to play to the audience and kind of just, I don't know, not dumb things down, but.
Need to dumb things down.
Just go to the masses and do, it's just playing the game, isn't it? As much as sometimes you don't want to. I have to do it with the business all the time, because as much as people say they like traditional artwork, as soon as you put that on like a t-shirt, it's like, I'm not fucking buying that. Yeah. Just give me something with runes on. And it happens. And there's so many people that make awesome artwork and they put it on t-shirts and it doesn't sell because people love it, but it just doesn't translate into people buying things. You have to almost go to that like Viking bro-y type thing. And it's frustrating. You get, those t-shirts you see on Facebook. It's like, always be yourself unless you're going to be a Viking. Then be a Viking. It's like they must sell fucking loads of those t-shirts.
That sells a shitload more than a t-shirt.
Have you seen that?
Never go full donkey.
Have you seen? never go full donkey. You know, that's not on the first. Not on the first try. Just don't go full donkey. First,
yeah,
but have you seen?
That's definitely the episode title.
Yeah, never go full donkey on the first try. Yeah, that's the thing. No, but have you seen that Kai from Heilung has done a kind of clothing brand?
Yes.
He calls it Old Norse. Mm-hmm. And I thought the minute I saw that was announced, I thought, oh my God, this is going to go like hotcakes. He'll have 200,000 followers within no time. Mm-hmm. People are going to buy this like shit. Now, I haven't spoken to Kai, so I don't know how well he's doing, but just... when you go on Instagram, I think he still has less than 10,000 followers. Yeah. And I was so surprised. But I think it might be because the designs are fucking intricate, right? It's all his weird ass little dotty things and digga-digga-digga and some weird horse and whatever, some weird donkey or something,
It sounds like he went full donkey.
Full donkey.
I think he went full donkey. Yeah.
It's taken me a long time. And even then, though, like, we don't sell tons of clothing. It's like... The clothing side of Hornsbone is more like a passion project. I enjoy doing it. There's something egotistical about people wearing your clothes, and that's probably why I keep doing it. It's certainly not about like the money.
Right, Dan, speaking of egotistical clothing, do you see my microphone slide closer towards my mouth? I'm going to let you in on a secret.
Go on.
Why don't we collaborate? You know how we're so cool. We should do something cool together. Let's collaborate on a drunken Odin t-shirt.
Yeah. Right?
No one will buy it, but that's what will make it cool, and therefore people will buy it. And it's a collection of sayings of drunken Odin from the Havamal episodes that we did. You remember those?
Remember.
I was saying we should do a drunk Odin t-shirt.
Yeah, we should. We've been saying that for a while.
When I say you should do it, and you should give me commission. But like, I was thinking, I would, if I had a t-shirt, it'd be a drunken Odin t-shirt. And
it would be very good.
Then I don't know anything about that, so I'll give the idea to you. In my head, all of this came out much more like a master plan and less like the ravings of a lunatic, but yeah.
Yeah,
I think it fits that it's the ravings of a lunatic, since it's literally the ravings of a lunatic that you want to put on the t-shirt. I think it's all
there. You go,
meant to be.
It makes itself. See
the drunk coding podcasts are some of the ones that people refer to the most. I'm just thinking, they were so long ago as well, but they just.
I know. That's what I mean. My best work was when I was 2 years old, and it's been downhill.
I thought since you were sitting and drinking Valhalla, I'd do the same.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you have, is it the same?
I do. I just have a slightly bigger bottle than you.
Ed's has gone down significantly during the end of the show. All right, fellas, I need to wrap this up.
That's quite delicious. That's why I brought it. I brought it to say cheers with you guys.
Cheers. Yeah.
Yes, and fucking Merry Christmas, eh?
Cheers to us three cool guys.
So cool. We should do things together. We should do together.
We should sit down and talk about how great we all are more often.
More often than we already do, which is once every few months.
Let's go full fucking donkey, yeah, guys. Yeah. Let's go full donkey.
Guys.
Full donkey. Yeah. Well,
thank you very much.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thanks for having us on.
Let's have a little drink.
Very good.
No, thank you. Thank you both very much. These are a lot of fun. We should do something like this more often. Just
yeah, we should.
Whether it's recorded or not, just
I think not recorded.
Hang, yeah, well,
for the good of the people.
For the good of Jonas. we can
do it in Exeter.
Yeah,
we'll get to go. We'll go to Exeter and to Exeter.
Yeah. I hear they have internet there.
They have great internet.
When you come back to England, you're going to have a solid connection.
It's because people are constantly just sending each other dick pics and match pics, so it has to be good.
It does. Absolutely. Okay, yeah. I have to go to a 30th birthday party already half drunk, so thank you for that, boys.
Best of luck.
Best of luck. Lovely to see you guys.
Love you both. We will do this again, individually, together, in whatever combination. It's always fun to talk to you both. Thank you very much for your time. And before we go, Ed, you want to shout out wherever people can follow you and your stuff?
You can follow me on Instagram at thusTheGuild and mythos.theatre, where you can find the dates for my touring mythological theatre show, Mythos Ragnarok, which will not be in the UK for a while. But, you know, follow it and you'll find out when it is.
There you go.
Yeah, the best place to find me is also on Instagram at Nibala Music. And go to YouTube and just write Nibala Music as well, and you'll find all kinds of cool live videos and weird ass full donkey art music videos. Full fucking donkey. Fucking £20,000 down the drain. But hey, you know, whatever. Not down the drain though, because I'm so proud of those videos. Go check out those videos on YouTube.
They're good.
I'm going to be shamelessly self-promoting this. These are fucking great music videos made by Christina Amundsen and Sarah Burr, two amazing fucking chicks who just put it together, and our Ukrainian production team that was amazing. Also led by a woman, just, Tasha's amazing. And you should go check that out on YouTube. Really, you should.
Yeah. No, they are fantastic. And I also love how you said fuck so many times that your mum has just closed a curtain on you.
She is so disappointed. She's so disappointed in me.
Well,
but I've tried to promise her that I'd say fuck less when I'm around her in like private conversations. So I almost being out of swear jar. Very, she's so close. It's terrible. but I think this is my safe space where I'm allowed to speak how I want, right? Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you, guys.
You're always allowed to say whatever you want to hear. And we just have a team behind the scenes who come in and edit it to save you after. That's what we do.
Why didn't you tell me that? I'd have gone full donkey.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
There'll be 31 by the time you get there, Dan. Go.
Have a good evening. Take care.
Bye, you guys. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.